Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the USMLE Guys podcast. My name's Dr. Paul. In today's episode, we are doing another USMLE Coaches Corner episode. This is something we previously recorded from our YouTube channel, and I wanted to share with you here today. We will be talking about one of the common problems that our one-on-one coaching students are experiencing, sharing with you what's going on and how to fix it so that you can move forward with your own USMLE preparation without any worries. And if you want to work with us one-on-one, or you want to learn more about how we can help you prep for your USMLE exam, don't forget to visit our website, usmleguys.com. All right, let's dive in with today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the USMLE Coaches Corner. I am here with Dr. Stavros. My name is Dr. Paul. We are the USMLE Guys. And in today's episode, we are going to talk about how to fix a weakness. So if you're studying for your Step 1 or your Step 2 CK, and a weakness pops up, we're gonna give you some practical and tactical steps today that you can use to make sure you fix those weaknesses so that they don't expose you on exam day and hurt your score. Before we dive in though, if this is your first time here, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and set up notifications. We will let you know every time we release brand new videos. And if you find this to be helpful, do us a huge favor. All we ask is that you hit that thumbs up button below. All right. So how to fix a weakness. Let's just sort of take a broad overview, Doc, about how we teach our coaching students to tackle weaknesses, and then we can kind of get more focused in on specifics. So let's say I'm your student, and I tell you, I did a bunch of AMBOSS questions, and my cardiac is very weak. So how do I take the steps to fix this problem?
Sure. I mean, a good question, and I'm happy that we're bringing this up. When you talk about cardiac, for example, we all have to understand there's many little subsections, right, of cardiac. There's cardiac anatomy, embryology, physiology, pathophys, pharm. So when someone says to us, hey, my cardiac is low, or cardiology, but what part of cardiology, right?
Yeah.
Because then if you know that, then you're able to say, okay, I am enjoying cardiology, but I really fall short on the embryology part or the anatomy part. Then you've got to go dig deeper in a detailed resource to show you exactly how to connect. See, a lot of students fall into that habit of, high yield. I'm going to use a high yield resource to really understand the anatomy. Yes, I understand that. But if you don't have the foundation built beforehand, then all you're seeing is the tip of the iceberg, right? Yeah. You don't see the actual iceberg underneath. And on exam day where you're stressed, because you are going to be stressed, you're like, well, I don't know, because all I know is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Do you understand the foundation of the physiology, pathophys, fist form? So students out there watching this, listening, you have to break down the weaknesses in where specifically in the topic you have to focus on. That's all it is.
Yeah. One of the things we always tell students is go back and if you have a weakness, you have to look, like you said, at a detailed, robust resource because otherwise you're just skimming the surface. But, if, for example, a student has, let's say, a weakness in cardiac and they say it's cardiac path. Well, that's very, very broad. What are you going to do? You're going to go read the entire cardiac section of Robbins pathology. That could take you a while. So what you, like you said, you really need to do is identify. The more, analytics are your best friend when it comes to your USMLE prep. Sure. And the more detailed your analytics, the more focused you can put on those weaknesses. So for example, instead of just saying I'm weak in cardiac, I'm weak, like you said, cardiac embryo, cardiac anatomy. Perfect. So I am going to find the best gold standard top of the line resource, robust resource on cardiac embryo. And then I'm going to spend a little bit of time improving that. But if you, like you said, if you just sort of say, you know what, and this is so many of our students do this, not our students because we teach them better, but students before they come to us, I didn't do well in cardiac in my U World. And so I went and I just read the first aid. And students message me on Instagram all the time saying, I go through my questions and then I read first aid to fix my weaknesses. But you're not really fixing your weaknesses because, like Doc said, if you are just hitting the tip of the iceberg, all of those things underneath that you can't see will pop up on exam day. I saw a really good quote the other day and I'm trying to think. I'm going to try and say it, and I haven't thought about this. You have to expose your gaps before your gaps expose you. Meaning, you like this, good, right? Meaning, find the specifics of what is holding you back and then work hard to fill those. And once you do that, you really be untouchable on exam day, because no matter how deep someone might want to go with a question, you've taken the time to really build that foundation. And, you know, students are probably saying right now, that sounds like a lot of work. Yeah, a 260 is not an easy feat on exam day. But this is really what you need to do if you want to improve those weaknesses.
And there's different, and out there right now, there's, I think, three different groups. There's a student in medical school right now currently taking, you know, pathology, pathophys, whatever, cardiology. Mm-hmm. Then you have another student who finished medical school, hasn't taken the boards, and is still fresh. And then you have another doctor who has practiced somewhere and anywhere else in the country, in the world, and they have to go back and become a student, right? So that's why people have to understand, if you did biochemistry or cardiology months ago, years ago, reading a high yield resource probably won't help. If it does, then amazing, because it's going to refresh what you learned years ago. But if you have a student that just recently has taken the class or is taking it now, it's a lot easier to dig deeper, right? So that's why when you say weaknesses, you have to really be honest with yourself and say, listen, I haven't seen biochem in 3 years. Reading first aid might not help, because it might be literally a whole different language. That's why you have to step back and say, what do I do? I have to do it the right way. I had to build the foundation. Because guys, you know that whatever questions you get on UWorld and AMBOSS won't show up on the actual exam. It's just practicing, right? The technique of answering the question. So really define your weakness and attack. And it's a lot of work, but you got to do it. That's what we got to do to pass these exams.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure someone will ask, well, how do I really identify my weaknesses? So you obviously need to do questions. And doing questions, when you are starting out, doing questions topic-specific mode, like do cardiac, then do embryo, then do biochem. You want to make sure you batch things together so that you can really identify whether you're weak or not. Because if you've only done one cardiac embryo question today and you got it wrong, that doesn't mean you're weak in cardiac embryo. You need to do 10, 15, 20, really identify. Yeah. Another thing students can do if you really want to identify your weaknesses is you can use first aid as sort of the structure for what's important to know, meaning what topics are important. So for example, if you open the genetic section of the biochemistry under first aid, it's really, really sparse. It talks about modes of inheritance, doesn't go into a lot of detail about some of the disorders that fall under each category. So you as a student can't just say, oh, cool, all they talked about was osteogenesis imperfecta and neurofibromatosis. Wow. That's all I need to know. When they talk, let's say, autosomal dominant, and you go through and you're like, okay, this is how I identify an autosomal dominant disorder. It's your responsibility to then go back and say, in med school, what disorders did we talk about? And then you realize, oh, there's like 30 of them that are probably testable. Not literally everything that's autosomal dominant is testable, but you have to think back and say, in med school, we had an entire semester of genetics. Therefore, you're not just going to get a simple pedigree on exam day that's, you know, super simple and says, look, every generation is affected. Males, dads pass to their sons. What is it? Oh, it's autosomal dominant. No, you're going to have to know what disorders are autosomal dominant and then take it 2, 3, 4, 5 levels deep. And so that's a way that you can identify your weaknesses. Go through first aid, see what's important. And if you see something and you can't elaborate on it for, 3, 4, 5 minutes beyond what's in the book, then that's something you should assume you need more work on and go back and review those robust resources. At the end of the day though, questions are a great way to be really efficient, get through it, identify weaknesses, because they're asking you questions, right? Identify the ones you got wrong, then say, hey, I got a bunch of questions wrong on heart failure. Let me take some time and go back and really dig into heart failure. Let me go back and dig into valvular disorders, all these things. That's really how you do it.
And also to jump on that, when you are doing questions, you get them wrong. It doesn't necessarily mean you don't know the material. It also can mean that you're not familiar with doing questions.
Yeah.
So that's what we tell our students in our coaching programs, that once you master or at least try to grasp the information, it's because I even tell them, when you go to undergrad, even high school, undergrad, medical school, we're trained to listen to lectures, go to class, and then we have quizzes, right? It's like babysitting. You have to make sure you're reading, right? So that isn't USMLE. So when everyone's out there used to reading and then doing questions, I'm like, guys, doctors, do you understand that by reading 5 pages of biochem, unless you do our crash course, which is beautiful because it's all questions, navigating you through the first aid, when you read five pages about chem and then you open up five pages, you know, five questions on UROL, you get them wrong. Well, it's not going to parallel specifically what you read in first aid. That's A. And then B, you might know everything about the TCA cycle, but for some reason you're not used to doing questions. And there you go. You get five questions wrong. You get upset. Dr. Stowers, Dr. Paul, I don't know about chem. No, you do know about chem. You just got to now transition over to do questions and familiarize yourself with extracting the printed information to connect the dots till they get the question right. So you see, there's a lot of weaknesses. Unless you work side by side, you know, if you reach out to us, how can we pinpoint a weakness without really working with you? Yeah. It's not easy that way.
It's, you know, I love to use sports metaphors and analogies when comparing to USMLE prep. And like you said, studying material would be like going to the gym and shooting hoops on your own for a couple hours. You might stand there and you can hit, you know, 9 out of 10 free throws when no one's around. There's no pressure. But when the game's on the line, can you nail those 2 free throws? When you have people in your face, can you do the layup? Can you hit the jump shot? So you have to realize you might know the mechanics, which would be like, you know, the material. But until you put yourself in a situation where you're really tested, you're put under pressure, you won't know how well you know it. You might know that this many ATP is created here, this many ATP is burned over here. But until you're put in a position where you have to, you know, maneuver things around in your head and think about it differently, you won't really know how well you know it. So yeah, you know, it's a combination of reading the material, mastering the material, but then applying it to questions to identify those gaps before those gaps identify you.
And I love that. And honest, and I hope those watching and those listening really understand that you have to be honest with yourself, because if you are not a spring chicken, meaning you're not in medical school and you've graduated and, you know, you're coming back in because you're coming to the country to do the USMLE prep, you have to take a step back. If you jump in into high yield, which was great, you know, we have our drills, we have our crash course, it's phenomenal. But if you're just focusing on that, you're going to see yourself keep spinning, and then eventually get frustrated. And then we come in and help you and say, well, we got to go back a few steps. Because just like I mentioned to you before, undergrad, there was a certain class, like literature, I didn't want to read a book. I just read like Cliff Notes, first aid, high yield, let's say. But then if they ask me a question about a certain story, a certain character, a certain city in the book, deer in headlights. I'm like, I have no idea. And that's where they get you on the step. Step is little details that you might not see in first aid. You just have to know from reading and understanding the information. Simple as that.
Well, you know, a lot of students forget that the USMLE is not based on the first aid. It's based on everything from med school. And so by trying to take shortcuts and make it easier on yourself, you're just actually just doing yourself a disservice. Thank you all for sticking around until the end. I hope you found that to be helpful. If you want to learn more about how you can work with us either one-on-one, get access to our drill sessions or our step one or step two CK coaching programs, don't forget to visit us at usmleguys.com. Thank you for sticking around. I hope that was helpful. We'll see you on the next episode.